Okay, we start here on the bottom of Tanumud Bed by the Bailuhu. Gemara is discussing the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda versus the Shita of Chachamim in the Mishnah. The Gemara proposed and said that was Pshita. Of course, that's the explanation of their reasons, is that the Chachamim believe that the Sheni is Ikar. Once you have overlapping miscarriages, the second miscarriage is the one that dictates. It's as if the first miscarriage doesn't exist anymore, and the second one takes over. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the other way around. The first miscarriage is one that dictates. The second miscarriage is if it doesn't exist. Now the Gemara is going to ask a question. Is that true according to Rabbi Yehuda in every aspect or just with respect to the Korban? Shezibaylahu. V'tumah, mali amar Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say with regards to Tumah? Mi amrinan, ad gan lo kamar le Rabbi Yehuda v'lad sheni kamanda leite dami. The only time I say that the v'lad sheni is non-existent, elin yan Korban. That's only in the realm of Korban. So since the second miscarriage happened in a time when she couldn't bring a korban, she had yet to bring the korban for the first one, therefore it's as if it doesn't exist. And hol v'chein, v'lad sheni k'man d'lo tidami. Second v'lad is as if it's non-existent, and you only have one count, and that count is from the first miscarriage. And that way, when you have the third miscarriage, it is a separate korban, because as soon as you finish the first, the second was subsumed in the first. But when it comes to Tumah and Tara, we're talking about two different issues. One issue is in terms of bringing the Korban, the Korbanot that you bring. The other one is the issues of Tumah and Tara. How long is she Me'a? When does she become Tor? Ema severely commandi ite dami. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the second miscarriage does exist. Umifsika Tumah desheni. The Tumah of the second one causes a break. Umamale yomei de Tara. And then afterwards, he would complete the Yemei Tara of the Rishon. V'hadar mona Yomei Tara de Sheni. Then after that, you would count the Tahor days of the Sheni. In most cases, we're going to use 80 as the number, and we did this yesterday as well, is because in order for there to be a miscarriage, you need a minimum of 40 days for Yetzirat HaVlad. The woman, in the days of Tumah, for instance, for Zachar, if you have 7 days of Tumah, and then 33 days of Tara, if you wait the 7 days of Tumah, and then afterwards she conceives in that 33-day period, by the time she gets to the 40 days where a Vlad is considered to be a full-fledged Vlad in terms of miscarriage, you'll be outside the parsha of the first birth. Therefore, almost all these cases are talking about cases of a female. We have 80 days. In a female, you have 14 days of Tumah, and then 66 days of Tara. So then you have enough time in which you could have a conception during that 66-day period of Tara, complete the 40 days of Yetzirat HaVlad, and have a miscarriage before those 66 days are up. So let's say it happened to be that on the 55th day, she miscarries. After conceiving early on, right after she became Tahor. So if she miscarries then, that's the second Vlad. What is the suggestion here of the Gemara? So as in the Gemara is now, if she miscarries a female, she will wait, she'll count 2 weeks of Tumah, because that's what a female does when they're born, 2 weeks of Tumah. After she completes those 2 weeks of Tumah, she'll then do 11 days of Tara to finish off the days of Tara of the first. Then after that, she'll complete the 66 days of Tara of the second. So that would be the proposal here. The proposal of the Sheni is Kaman Taleti Dami is non-existent, only regards to the Korban. How many Korbanot you're Chayav? But in terms of Tumah Tara, we get a full first and a full second. They both exist, and they do not coexist. Which means they do not run in lockstep or overlapping. Each one needs its independent time. Therefore, you're going to have the 80 of the first interrupted by 2 weeks of Tumah of the second. Then you complete the first for those 80 days, and then you do another 66 days to complete the 80 days of the second. So it'll be in the end, you'll have a full 160 days between the two. That's one proposal. Odilma, maybe the other way, Rabbi Yehuda, chumrahu d'idle. As long as it turns out to be a chumrah, he'll subscribe to it. That means, by korban, the chumrah is that we say k'man d'leti dami. But if you say k'man d'itle dami over here, by tumah tara, that also turns out to be a kula, because now she's tahor for a much longer period. She ends up actually having another 66 days of tara after the whole first one is complete. And that's a big kula. So we'll say no. Have a halacha kula. The kula lately, he will not subscribe to a kula, but rather the chumrah. What does that mean? You go the chumrah. So Rashi explains the chumrah over here one way, and then Tosafot disagrees with Rashi because of the subsequent Gemara sounds like Tosafot. Subsequent Gemara, Rashi explains like Tosafot, and then all the Achronim are left to try to reconcile between Rashi here and the Rashi further on. What Rashi says is, to say that she has no second at all, that the second doesn't exist whatsoever, that's also a kula. Because then she can eat kodashim earlier. She would then be done at the 80th day, she'll be done, she can eat kodashim, and that's a big kula. So the second side, according to Rashi, is not that the second one doesn't exist at all. That's what Tosafot says. The other side is that there is, just like by Korban, the second one doesn't exist, so too by Tumah Tara, the second one doesn't exist. That means, at the 80th day, you'll be done. It's over. Everything's over at the 80th day. That's one way to learn this side of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi says, I can't do that because I don't have the kula that you can eat kodashim earlier. So Rashi says that basically the second side of Rabbi Yehuda is the chumrah is that you just count from the miscarriage of the second. You count 2 weeks, 14 days of Tumah, 66 days of Tara. We knock out the first as if it doesn't exist, meaning the overlapping time, when you're counting with the second, just overrides the first. The first will count. Yes, you have to finish up the first, but because the second extends beyond the first won't matter anymore. And so, in our case, again, where we said before, on the 55th day, she miscarries. At that point, she'll count 2 weeks for Tumah for the second one, and then 66 days of Tara after that. What about the 11 days of Tara left of the first? Well, they're counted simultaneously with the days of Tumah of the second. They're there, but they don't matter. So that's the way Rashi learned the second side of Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agrees on the first side, which is that you would count a full-fledged count for the first and the second, and they do not overlap. You never have an overlapping count. The second side, according to Tosafot, means the second one doesn't exist at all, and you only have the first count. According to Rashi, it's the other way around. It's as if the first one doesn't exist, and the second one is the count. So now the Gemara wants to understand which side does Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Huna Misura. Tashma, Yoledet, Shuchatin, Vizorkin Alea, Biyomem, Bezachar, Viyom Shmonim, Linekeva. On the 40th day after the birth of a male, you can be Shuchait and Zorek Aleha, and the same is true by a female on the 80th day. Adkan, until that point in time, Tmeahi, she's still Tmeah. Vamrav Christo, Hamani, who's the author of this position? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Damar, Vlad Sheni, Kaman delete dummy. But the second blood is as if it's non-existent. So now, obviously by saying that, that means that the case involves two miscarriages over here. Wasn't clear when you read the statement, you don't see this. But because of the modification of Rav Chista, who says this is Rav Yehuda, who says the blood Chinese is non-existent, that tells you that we're talking about twins over here. These are Vladot Yoledet Tumim. One day she gives birth to the first one, and then the second one on the second day. Just a day apart. Day one, she gives birth to the first of the twins. Day two, she gives birth to the second of the twins. So now, if you were really to count from the second one was meaningful, you should end up at the 41st day. She would not be Tahor until the 34th day or the 81st day, because the second miscarriage took place one day into the first one. But yet, this Braita suggests that on the 40th and the 80th day, she is Tahor Legamri. Or not Torah Legamri, she's able to bring her Korban at Pesach, and by nightfall she'll be able to eat it. So if that's the case, it's as if, and that's what the Gemara concludes here, it's Kaman Galete Dami, it's as if the second count does not exist whatsoever. This supports the position of Tosafot. Before we had a disagreement in Rashi and Tosafot, what does it mean, the second side of Rabbi Yehuda? It's clear here that the Gemara thinks Kaman Galete Dami means not existing whatsoever. And that's what Tosafot explained in the Tumah Tara above. That now, when we say Kaman Galete means zero. The second one's not there, you just count the first and that's it. And that's what the Gemara seems to suggest over here. You only count to the 40th day or the 80th day, and then she's done. Rashi, over here, explains the same way. Shema mino, kaman delete dami. Volin yimei tumah v'tarash v'olum minyan yimei tohar shor rishon. That they get just subsumed in the yimei rishon, as if it doesn't exist. So how does Rashi reconcile between this and the previous case? So this is some of the achronim have to deal with. This is where Tosafot brings up his issue. He says, I can't explain Rashi here because this Gemara is a proof to what I'm saying. The Achronim differentiate between when you have the second miscarriage. If you have the second miscarriage after you pass the Mea Tumah and the Mea Tohar, then Rashi says it's considered to be a separate birth. It's a separate birth because your Mea Tumah for the second intercede or in the middle of the Mea Tohar of the Rishon. But in this case, if they're born a day apart, then the Yemei Tumah of the second start within the Yemei Tumah of the first. In that case, we'll say, Kaman Delete Dami. That's a differentiation that they want to make, that this is considered as if you gave birth to twins on the same day. You gave birth to twins on the same day, you don't count separate counts. You count one count, and that's it. So over here, if the second miscarriage happens within the Yemei Tumah of the first, it's considered as if that was one birth. And therefore, the second is completely absent, and you only count from the number one. On the other hand, if you had already passed either the 7 days of Tumah for a Zachar, or the 14 days for a Nekeva, which is a more likely case, because otherwise you can't have a second miscarriage, then if you have a miscarriage on the May Toar, the 66 days of Tara, the first, then Rashi says you start a new count from the second, meaning that you just count 14 days of Tumah and 66 for the second one. So that would be the distinction they draw between the previous case and what's said here, where Rashi seems to agree to Tosafot in terms of his explanation of the other tzad of Rabbi Yehuda. So now, he amart, bitumas virle Rabbi Yehuda, v'lad sheni keman de'itei dami. And if you say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the second miscarriage is if it does exist, so how could you shech for on this 40th day? That night she can't eat, because you have another day left in the count. That he owed, just like by Korban, where he says Vlachini doesn't exist, so too by Bituma Tara, he says Vlachini doesn't exist. So Umar says, no. We'll say that it does exist. What are you going to do over here? Here we're talking about a case where it's a Korban HaPesach that was brought by Rova Tzibor B'tumah.
So what?
So yes, she's Meah. The Pesach is brought B'tumah. So we don't care about her Tumah. In Ochanami, she's Tmeah. So everybody's Tmeah. That's why the Korban HaPesach is being brought B'tumah. So Mar says, wait a minute. Me Ochla? How can you eat from a Korban HaPesach if it's brought B'tumah? Vatznan. Pesach Abba B'tumah. Even a Pesach, Korban HaPesach is brought where the Rova Tzibor were Tmeim. And therefore the Pesach was brought B'tumah. Lo yochlu memenu zavim v'zavot nidoyot v'yolodot. You can't eat from it. These types of Tumah are not exempted. Tumah Tameit is what is exempted in terms of a Pesach Abba B'tumah. Or, the distinction that the Gemara draws is between Tumah Haba Migufo, Tumah that is exuded from the person themselves, versus Tumah that is acquired from the outside. Tumah Tameit, Tumah Tasheretz are all Tumot that are acquired from the outside. Tumat, Zavim, Zavot, Nidot, V'yoldot are Tumot that are Yotzei Migufan, that are internal Tumot that from the emissions or the exuding of those individuals, that's what creates the Tumah. So those individuals may not participate, even at Pesach Abba B'tumah, they may not participate. So how does that help you out? If you think that the second one is in existence, and she's still Tumeah, then how is it that she's able to participate in this Korban HaPesach? Even if it's Pesach Abba B'tumah, she's not allowed to participate. Mar says, "Hi, lo achle ki lo tevilan. They don't eat because they didn't go to the mikveh. Ki tanya ahi the shochatim is zorkin aleha. The case where we said we can, tatavlo. She went to the mikveh. So let's just take a step back now and understand. When it comes to a yoledet, when you have a yoledet in terms of a zachar, you have 7 days of tumah, 33 days of tara, or for nekeva, you have 14 days of tumah, 66 days of tara. How does that lay out in terms of the tumah? Those days of tumah." She's like a nida during that period of time. She has the status of a zava or a nida during that period of time. There's all full-fledged tumah. Any dam that she sees is also tmeah. Comes to the seventh day, as long as she has some sort of mifsak, some sort of stop in the flow of blood, she goes to the mikveh, and she becomes what's called a tvul yom aruch. A tvul yom is someone who's tmeah, goes to the mikveh, but is not tahor until the sun sets on them. So generally, say tumat sheretz. Tumat sheretz, where a person comes into contact with the sheretz, they go to the mikveh that day. When the sun sets on that day, they'll be tohorim. That makes them tohor, that sunset. From the time after they go to the mikveh, till the sun sets, they're called what's called a tvul yom. They have a reduced form of tumah, but they're still tmeim. This woman, at the 7th day for zachar, or at the 14th day for nekeva, she goes to the mikveh. And then she becomes a tvul yom. But her sun doesn't set until for zachar, 33 days later. Or for Nekeva, 66 days later. She went to the mikveh, but then she goes to Tvul Yom, and the sunset that makes her Tahor is way off in the future. But she's gone to the mikveh. She's a Tvul Yom. So the difference between this case where we say Shochatim v'zorkin aleha is a case where she went to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh on the 7th day or on the 14th day after she completed her Yemei Tumah. And now she's in your Meitara. These Meitara, she sees Dam during this period of time. The Dam is Tahor, she's Mutar to her husband. The only thing she's not allowed to do is eat Kodashim, because she's a Tful Yom. She has to wait until the sun sets in order to become Tahor. So now, based on that, the Gemara is saying, I'll draw a distinction between the two Braitot. In the Braitot that says, Shulchatim v'zokin aleh b'yom mem l'zachar v'yom shemunim l'nekeva, there she already went to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh on the 7th day, or on the 14th day of the 2nd. According to here, we're saying the 2nd one isn't existent. So after she went to the mikveh, she's a Tul Yom Aruch. The Mishnah in Pesachim, which says, Pesach abba b'tumah, lo yuchum mena zavim zavod, nidot miyodot, that's talking about, she didn't go to the mikveh. They're not Tul Yom, because they're still Tumayim. They're at a point in time in their Tumah process where they can't go to the mikveh. So not a Tul Yom. Mar says, okay, yihochi, Mishmini dileihu dechazia. If you want to say the whole point to here is that she's a Tvul Yom, well, she's a Tvul Yom starting from day number 8 for Zachar, or day number 15 for a female. Why do you say only on the 40th day or on the 80th day that she has the ability to eat the Korban HaPesach or beat the Korban HaPesach that night? She should be from day 1, day 8, day 15. She already went to the mikveh. She's a Tvul Yom. She's a Tvulet Yom from that moment forward. My says, she's not ruya when it comes to the 8th day. Kasavar, tvuyom dezav, kizav dami. The Gemara is saying here that we hold that one who goes to the mikveh still has the full status of tumah of the tumah that you are exiting.
Can do anything the whole day.
Right. The whole day, anything, period. As long as that tvuyom is at the end. But here, by the case of Yobadit, she's still valid 33 days in advance, or 66 days in advance. She still has full tumah. Of a yoledet, where it says yochi biyomem nami lo chazio. Then on the 40th day, she's also not reuya. But I no. Truthfully, biyomem chazio, she is kasavar mechusu kipurim tezav lav kezav dami. Someone is mechusu kapara is not considered to be a full fledged zav. So I'll do this with just a basic case of zav. Basic case of zav is a person who has 3 emissions. They become a zav. In order to become tahor, they have to have 7 days of tahara from any emission. Once they start the count of tahara, they remain tamei all the way along. On the 7th day, they go to the mikveh. 7th day of tahara, they go to the mikveh. Sunset on the 7th day, they become tahor. When they go to the mikveh on the 7th day, they become a tvul yom. Tvul yom, the status becomes a tvul yom until herev shemesh, till they reach the point of nightfall where the sunset makes them tahor. And once the sun sets, they can eat truma. They can start eating truma. They are tahor. If he's a Kohen, correct? If he's a Kohen, he can eat truma. What you're not permitted to do is eat from the Kodashim or enter the Mikdash until you brush your Korban on the 8th day. From the period of time from sunset on the 7th day till the time you bring your Korban on the 8th day, you're called a Mechusere Kapara. So now you have 3 stages along the way here in terms of the process of Tara. You get a full-fledged Zav. Person's a full-fledged Zav even during the Mei Toar when they're counting those 7 days of Tara. Full-fledged Zav until you go to the Mikveh. The moment you go to the mikveh, you become a Tvul Yom. That reduces your Tumah. Now, according to our Gemara now, when you become a Tvul Yom, that doesn't change anything. You still have the same status as a Zav as beforehand. Just like you were fully Tameh beforehand, after you go to the mikveh, you're also fully Tameh. Until you hit sunset on the 7th day. When you hit sunset on the 7th day, that makes you Tahor in order to be Mutar, to touch Tumah, to eat Tumah if you're a Kohen, you become Tahor. You are still a Mechusere Kapara. Mechusere Kapara means that you're lacking in your ability to eat Kodashim, or to enter into the Mikdash, because you haven't brought your Korban, which is Matir you. There, you have a status of Mechusei Kapara. What is the status of an individual of Mechusei Kapara? So our Gemara suggests that Mechusei Kapara don't have a status of a full-fledged Zav. They're ready to Tahor. They just have this residual Ma'akev, this Korban, which doesn't allow them to participate in Kodesh or enter the Mikdash. But in terms of Tumah, they've lost all shame Zav at that point in time. So if that's the case, that's why the nightfall on the 40th becomes important. By nightfall on the 40th, she's going to bring her Korban on the 41st day or on the 81st day. Now she is still Tmeya in a sense because she has Mechusere Kapara. But this is a case of a Pesach Abba B'Tumah. And a Pesach Abba B'Tumah, everybody is Tmei in terms of eating the Pesach. So over here, once she's done her begun to the mikveh on the 8th day or the 15th day of her birth or her miscarriage, she now becomes a Tvulat Yom. Tvulat Yom doesn't help her because we just said a Tvulat Yom has the same status of Tumah as if you didn't go to the mikveh. But when the sun sets on the 40th day, or the sun sets on the 80th day, she now becomes a Mechusere Kapara. Now Mechusere Kapara in general could not partake in Kodashim. because they are mechuzrei kapara. But this is an exceptional case. The mechuzrei kapara over here are tmeim, but not full-fledged tumah. They don't have tumah v'zavar or zav or yeledet, but they have a makev in terms of koloshim. But our exceptional case is that it's a pesach haba b'tumah. Everybody else is also tameh. So she could participate in this korban ha-pesach as a mechuzrei kapara, because everybody else is participating in it as tmeim. So her level of tumah that drops after that sunset on the 40th or 80th day puts her into a position where she can join all the other tmeim at that point in time.
Some other reason.
Her tumah came from a different reason, but because it drops after sunset, the level is lowered enough to the point where she can participate like anybody else. Gemara says now, like along the lines of what you're asking, David. Rava says, Mechusei Parav Zav still has a status of tumah tazav. If you have tumah tazav, we saw from the Mishnah, you're not allowed to participate in Pesach Baba tumah. Heichi b'taritz. Yamanita, how does he deal with the steer between the brightot? So Rav Ashi, Rovo mitaritz la biyom mem litzirat zachar, uviyom shmonim litzirat nekeva. Ve Rabbi Yishmolhi, you didn't understand, you misread the braita, the first braita. The first braita we thought was, yoledet shochatim zochir la biyom mem lezachar, uviyom shmonim lenekeva. We thought after the birth of a zachar, or after the birth of a nekeva, you have to wait the 40 days or the 80 days. That's how we read it. Rava say, don't read it that way. I'll tell you how to read this. Yoledet shochatim zorkim alei biyom mem, from the conception of a zachar. Ubiyom shmonim, from the conception of a nekeva. There was the miscarriage over here, happened 40 days after conception, or 80 days after conception. We discussed this before. In order to have a fetus that gives a woman tum'ah, or to be considered a fetus in any sense, it has to be in utero for at least a minimum of 40 days. Now, most of the Tanaim believe that means 40 days for Zachar or 40 days for Nekeva. It's irrelevant which one. It's Yitzirat HaVlad, it's 40 days. It takes 40 days until it becomes a full-fledged Vlad. Only on the 41st day, if you miscarry, will that be considered a miscarriage that creates Tumah, like a Leida. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees in the Gemara Nida. We're going to bring Rabbi Shmuel 1 second. It says that it differentiates between a zachar and a keva. It says that it takes 40 days for the tzirat avlad of a zachar, 80 days for the tzirat avlad of a keva. That means that if someone miscarries in a keva, not until the 81st day will that generate tumah. If a female is miscarried within the first 80 days, that's not considered to be a vlad. So now Robo will explain that brayta not based on post-birth, but rather post-conception. This is 40 days after conception. 80 days after conception. So now reading it, let's read it inside the Gemara. It says Rabbi Shmuel, this is Rabbi Shmuel, Damar, the Zachar, Mem, Ve'echad, the Nekeva, Mem, Ve'echad, the Mem, Ve'echad, is 41, and Nekeva, Shmonim, Ve'echad, is 81 for a Nekeva. So, sof, typically, Ditmeyahi, Mishum, Nida. Okay, wait a minute. So the Gemara says, okay, I agree with you that there's no Leida here. It happened on the 40th day for a zachar, which means that you do not have a full-fledged zachar here. The leida is not a leida that creates tumah. 80th day for a nekeva, after the conception of a nekeva, on the 80th day she miscarries, fine, there is no tumat leida. But we know when a woman gives birth, you see dam. Now, if it's not classified as a leida, that means it's not dam leida. What is it then? Dam nida. You only have two choices. A woman who has blood that is being emitted from her, it's either got to be dam of leida, or, if there's no leida, then it's dam nida. So, irrespective of which one it is, she's still tumeah now. And how could she eat from the korban ha-pesach? You're saying the day she gives birth, or miscarries really, is the day that she miscarries. She's not tumeah, she can eat that night because she didn't really have a birth. And she's not tumeah. She didn't have a birth, she's a nida. And the nida is also excluded from korban ha-pesach. She has 7 days of tumah for the nida. It says, v'leida yiveshto. It was a dry birth. There was no dam that was exuded in this miscarriage. Yochi Maila Memra. What's the Kiddush? Of course, if she has a dry birth, it's with fetuses that have yet to reach the point where they classify as a fetus for Tumah, then of course she can eat that night, according to Pesach. What would be the question? I would have thought it's impossible for the uterus to open without there being dam that exits. As soon as the uterus opens, that's automatic that the blood exits from there. Fine, you didn't see it. It's covered up. Whatever it is, we don't worry about that. There was definitely dam, and she is tmeah. Kamash malon. Now, some Gemaras, a lot of the Gersot just end Kamash Malan, period. That's it. Kamash Malan. Here our Gemara says, they have Shalab Ptichat Kever below Dam. Kamash Malan, that you can have a Ptichat Kever without Dam given out of it. Or, the other Kamash Malan, which is Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down, is Kamash Malan, Vlad de Gamar Tsurato Miptach Tvei. Pachob Imem Lo Nitach Tvei. Kamash Malan is that there's a difference between a miscarriage after 40 days and a miscarriage before 40 days. 40 days and below, when you have a miscarriage, since the fetus is so small, that Ptichat HaKever does not cause dam to come out automatically. After the 40 days, meaning on the 41st and onward, or the 81st and onward, according to Rabbi Shmuel for Nekeva, at that point the fetus would have generated Tuma'ah, then we say Ptichat HaKever has to be dam that comes out with it. It's impossible to have a Leida Yivesh after that point in time. So the question of how far do you say, Efshal the Ptichat HaKever below dam, how far do you say that? Do you say that that's a principal period? That as long, the uterus can open and there can be no dam. That's possible. Or do we say that this is limited to our situation over here? Limited to our situation over here, which means that if you have a miscarriage less than 40 days, there you can have Ptichat HaKever without dam. But otherwise, Ptichat HaKever would have to be associated with dam exiting. So that would be Rava's explanation, or to reconcile between the Braitot. And we're not talking about 40 days after the birth, 80 days after birth, but rather 40 days after conception, 80 days after conception. Therefore, the miscarriage, according to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that there's 80 days for a female, 40 days for a zachar in terms of Yitzirat HaBlad, then that miscarriage does not create Tumah. And if she miscarries on that day, that night she can eat her from the Pesach. She's not Tumeah. She never became Tumeah. What about Dam Nida? There was no Dam. It was a Leida Yaveshta, dry birth, in terms of a dry miscarriage, in which there was no Dam that was exuded. There's no Dam that's exuded. She's not Nida. She's not Tumat Leida. She can participate in the Korban Pesach that night. The Chiddush is, of course she can, she's not Tumeah, of course she can participate. The Chiddush is that we don't say, just because her womb opened, that automatically there was Dam, and she's Tumeah no matter what, even if we didn't see it. It's only Shita Rabbi Shmuel. Nobody else agrees. Everybody else thinks it's 40 days for both. Shmuel is this unusual Shita. He associates it with the Tumeah afterwards. Just like there's 40 and 80 after the birth, he associates that with the Ritzirat HaVlad. Alright. Amar Rav Shmaya, Tashma, Shishim. Now here when it says Shishim, we're talking about the Pasuk by Yoledet. It says by Shishim Yom, V'sheshet Yomim, that there are 6 days of Yemei Tahara after the woman gives birth. There's the 14 days Shvayim B'tumata. After the Shvayim B'tumata, she then gets 66 days of Yemei Tahara. So no 66 days of Tahara, it says Shishim Yom, V'sheshet Yomim. So it says, the word Shishim, Yocho Ben Ritzufim Ben Mifuzarim, I would think those 60 days get counted whether they are sequential, or whether they've been interrupted. Tamalomer yom. Ma yom ratzuf. Ashushim kulam ritzufim. Just like a day has to be consecutive, so too the 60 days have to be consecutive. Mani. Who's this brighter according to? Ilei ma rabbanon. If you can say it's a rabbanon. Mi ilei rabbanon mefuzarim. The rabbanon never have anything get interrupted. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Sheni interrupts over here, or doesn't interrupt over here. The Rabbanan always hold that the second is the Ikar. It's nothing to do with the first. The first gets dropped entirely. The second one is the Ikar. As long as the second one extends beyond the first, and as long as the second birth will cause you to have Tumah and Tahara that extends beyond the first, you count to the second. Now, if the first, second one is less than the first one, it was miscarried at a time where there would have been more remaining in terms of the first one, then you count to the extent of the first one. But in either way, they're always ritzufim. They're always consecutive days that you add. Therefore, the Rabbanan never have this question. So, Ella, Lav Rabbi Yehuda, it must be that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this position. Since he gives them 60 days consecutively, you see that there's a chumra going to Rabbi Yehuda, but no kula. Because you see that he demands 60 days consecutively. 6 days consecutively all means that the second one is command delete dummy. As if the second one doesn't exist at all. Because you can't get 60 ritzufim on the first one if you think the second one interrupts. The second one interrupts, then you don't have sequential days or consecutive days for the first one. So that would prove to us that Rabbi Yehuda holds a chumrah, and it's as if they don't exist at all, the second one. Lo, the olam rabbonani, that writer is rabbonan, v'ocha ma'eskin en liyoledet zachar mitok shmonim shel nekeva. They birthed a male within the 80 days in the Nekeva. So he had 80 days, and then give birth to a zachar in between. So the assumption of the Gemara now is that the 40 days would be subsumed in the 80. But that just can't be, as the Gemara says. That, why does that help you? Sof sof, shlemim yomei de kadma'a, va'ad kan de batra lo shlemim. When you finish up the count for the first in the keva, the zachar is still inexistent. And that is because, by the keva, we need a minimum of 2 weeks to be tmea. After that, she can conceive. If she conceives on the 50th day, then 40 days later, she can give birth to a fetus that will create tuma. That's 55th day. If she gives birth on the 55th day, 40 days for the zachar will end up being at day 95, which is, this is the keva, the first one already ended at 80. So then, it's still extending beyond the first one. So why, over here, did the Rabbanan need Tzufim? They're just going to count from the zachar, from the second one. And that's it. That's what's going to govern over here. It says, the Rabbanan, the Vlad Sheni Manu. They always count from whenever the birth of the second one happens. That's what they count from. Ella Mishkach the Rabbanan Biyoledet to Omim. Gave birth to twins. Keva Kadmaita V'Zachar Batra. Case where you gave birth to a Nekiva at first, and then a Zachar. But you don't need the requisite waiting period. You don't need the 54 days, basically, to get to a point to where the 55th day where you can miscarry and have Tuma, because they're both in utero at the time. She already has them in utero. So if she miscarries or gives birth to the Nekeva, and then before she completes the period of time in the Nekeva, she gives birth to the Zachar. The Zachar is already considered to be, or make, be able to make Tuma, because it was already in utero for a long time. It was there with the Nekeva. So therefore now it comes out, grown, to the Zachar Batra, Besrim, Liomei Tara. On the 20th day of Yomei Tara, she gives birth to the Zachar. Now, the 20th day is Lav Dafka, just the example they're using. So over here now, you have a Nekeva, 14 days of Tuma, she gave birth to it. Then, 20 days into her Yomei Tara, that means on the 34th day after giving birth to the Nekeva, she miscarries the Zachar, gives birth to the Zachar. Now she has a 40-day count for the Zachar. 40 days from day 34 will end up at day 74. Nekeva is going to extend until day 80. So that means that the Yemei Tuman Tara of the Zachar will terminate before the Yemei Tuman Tara of the Nekeva. So now, that's the case that we're speaking about here. So Mishkala Raman Bilet told me, Nekeva kan maita v'zachar batra, going to leil te the Zachar batra b'esrim Yemei the Tara, to buy minkat le shiva Yemei Tuma de leida. She has to count 7 days of Tuma for the Zachar, and that will interrupt her days of Tara for the Nekeva. In that case, the Rabbanan don't say count from the second one, but the pasuk comes to tell you that Hashmina Deloma Shlemin the Bater Pei Deleida Rishona Shiva Keneged Zayin Yemei Tuma the Zachar Shivsiku Bentayim Ela Sheni Mune. The pasuk comes to teach us that those 7 days of Tuma of the Zachar that interrupt do not interrupt the Yemei Tohar of the Leida Rishona. So the Nekeva, who is counting her Yemei Tohar, all of a sudden she has an interruption in the middle with 7 days of Tuma. So don't say those 7 days in Tuma break up the Yemei Tahara, and you have to make up those 7 days at the end. No, those 7 days of Tuma are counted simultaneously for the Yemei Tuma the Zachar, as well as Yemei Tahara of the Nekeva. And you don't get any bonus days at the end. And that's what means Ritzufim. Ritzufim means you count them sequentially without any interruption. Here we don't allow for such an interruption. Vachi Kamar. Yocho Echa di Yalda Te Omim Nekeva Mi Ikara B'Zachar B'Lasof. Tavsik tumah deleida b'mitzei v'nimnei lei shisha v'shishim mefuzarim. I would think that those 7 days of tumah b'zachar will interrupt her days of mutara for the nekeva, and therefore she'll split her days of tara for the nekeva. Those 66 days will split up for the days before the seven and the days after the seven, but the seven won't count. Tamalomar yom ma yom kulo ratzuf ashishim kulam ritzufim. They have to be consecutive, sequential days. And therefore, you count 66 straight, even with the interruption of the 7 days of Tuma. Those 7 days of Tuma will also count towards the 60 days of Tara, and she won't get any bonus days at the end. Tamar Abaye Tashma Shloshim Yocho Ben Ritzufim Ben Mifuzarim Tamar Omer Yom Ma Yom Kulo Ritzuf Ashloshim Ritzufim Mani. Who's the author of this position? Ilema Rabbonon. If it's a Rabbonon, Mi Itlehu Rabbonon Mifuzarim. Rabbonon never have a case of Fuzarim. So Amre Rabbanan the Vlad Sheni Manu. Moni, did you only count? You count from the second Vlad. Ella, Lav Rabbi Yehuda. Must be Rabbi Yehuda. Shemar Minah Chumrei Lei Kula Leitei. See that the second Vlad can man Deleitei Dami. It's as if it doesn't exist. We don't have an interruption. In this case, Tomi won't answer your problem over here because you're talking about a case of Shloshim Yom, which is the Zachar. In the case of the Zachar, you have 7 days of Tuma, and then you have 33 days of Tahara. What are you going to answer like we did before? Tomim. We're dealing with twins. If you're dealing with twins, whatever the postponement of the second twin is, you'll never have the second one end before the first one. It'll just never be that way. The second one will never complete before the first one, and therefore you're never going to have this issue of saying, oh, well, what do we do? Do we interrupt it or we don't interrupt it? Amar Rav Ashi, Tashma v'sheshit yamim. So it says, Shishim yom v'sheshit yamim. Yocho ben ritzufim ben buzarim. Tamalomar, Shishim. Ma Shishim kulam ritzufim, af Shisha kulam ritzufim. Mani, who's the author of that? Ilem rabbonim ilay rabbonim v'puzarim. They don't have it broken up. Tamre rabbonim v'vlajeni manya. Elav Rabbi Yehudi. Shmamino, chumra itlay, kula, doitlay, shmamino. Okay, and those both the cases, you see that these are done according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the proof is that he thinks Shani command the late dami, both for Korban, as well as for Tuma. The Mishnah says, Elu mivin Korban Olev Yored. We're about to enumerate those individuals that bring a Korban Olev Yored, which means that the Korban is determined by their economic means or ability to pay for the Korban. The first three are Shmiat Kol, Val Bitu Ispataim, Ve'al Tumat Mikdash Ugdashav. These three items, which are mentioned in Vayikra Perek Hay, are known as the Korbanot Olevi Yored. They actually have three levels. They have a Shirut, which is a wealthy person actually brings a Chatat, a Dal. Someone who's poor brings, instead of that Chatat, brings two birds. One bird is a Chatat, one bird is an Ola. And a Dalet Alut, if a person's even more impoverished and can't afford the two birds, they bring a Mincha Asirita Eifa. They bring a Mincha in place of those two birds. So those are the first three of the Korbanei Olev Yored, which are determined by economic means. Shmiat Kol is someone who has a dut to testify, and they ask him to come testify, and he takes a shvua that he has no edut. Bitui Svatayim is someone who takes a shvua and then violates that shvua. Tumat Mikdash Kedashav is someone who is tamei, forgets that they are tamei, and then enters the Mikdash, eats Kodoshim. Then the Mishnah continues, that we have other examples of that. Hayoledet. A woman who gives birth. That's in Vayikra Yud Bet. In the parsha of a woman giving birth, it says that she has two choices. If she's an ashira, if she can afford it, she brings a keves le'ola and a preidah le'chatat, one bird as a chatat. If she cannot afford that, then she brings two birds, one le'ola to replace the keves le'ola and a preidah le'chatat, another bird le'chatat, which was the same as the woman who before brought it. The last of them is the Mitzorah. Mitzorah also has only two levels. Parsha Mitzorah in Verek Yudalid, when it talks about Tarata Mitzorah, it says in a Mitzorah, who's an Ashir, will bring a Keves le'asham, a Kivsa le'chatat, and another Keves le'ola. And Asham, Chatat, and Ola, all Kivasim. The Chatat is female, obviously. If he cannot afford that, then he still has to bring the Keves le'asham, which is the main Korban of the Mitzorah, the Asham Mitzorah. On the other hand, he will replace the Kivsa le'chatat and the Keves le'ola with a bird, two birds, one bird for a chatat and one bird for an ola, that's for someone who is bidalut. And that's our Mishnah. Now, we're going to bring two braitot that basically sum up the differences between them. Tanu Rabbanan, yesh mivi bidalut ve'ashirut. There's some that bring poor and wealthy. Yesh mivi bidalut. There's some that bring poverty. Yesh mivi bidalei dalut. And there's some that bring when you're completely impoverished, meet the lowest level. Yoledet mivia bidalut ve'ashirut. A yoledet who gives birth can bring dalut if she needs to, the lower level, or she can bring be'ashirut. Mitzorah mivi bidalut. And Mitzorah only has one level down, which is the Dalut. Shmiat Kol, Ubitu Svatayim, Vitumat Mikdash Gdashav, the three original, the core, Korban Olev Yored, Mevim Bidalut, Vidayi Dalut. They can drop down from an Ashir to Dalut, and then even to Dalei Dalut, even to a lower level than that. So when it comes to Yoledet and a Mitzorah, they bring both Dalut and Ashirut, there are two different levels there. Whereas by the other three of the Korban Olev, the Shmiat Kol, Bitu Svatayim, Tumat Mikdash Gdashav, they can bring Bashirut, Dalut and Delay Dalut. This Braita is just telling us that Yoledet and Mitzorah only have two levels, and the others have three levels in terms of the economic means to pay for it. Now we have another Braita, which is Tanya Yidoch. Yesh mebi achad tachad achad. Some bring one to replace one. Yesh mebi shnaim tachad shnaim. Some bring two to replace two. Yesh mebi shnaim tachad achad. Some bring two to replace one. Yesh mebi achad tachad shnaim. And some bring one to replace two. Kana talomei. From here you conclude, Lasirita ifa bepruta, that the Suyer Defah costs one prutah to bring. So now Gemara is going to go back and break down this braita. First of all, what's the case where you bring one for one? Yoledet mevi'a achat tachat achat. She brings one in place of one, because she brings preida achat v'of tachat keves. So when we look back at the Yoledet, she brings a keves le'ola and a preida lechatat. So the preida lechatat is there both if she's a shira or if she's bedalut. The only thing that gets changed is the keves le'ola gets changed to a preda, another bird le'ola. So here you have one, tachat one. The pchatat remains the same. You have the ola of the keves being replaced with the preda of the ola. Mitzora, shtei predim, tachat shnei kvasim. The mitzora has three items that have to be brought in asham, chatat, and ola. And by the dalut, in the case of the person who cannot afford it, he also has to bring an asham, chatat, and ola. The asham remains the same for both of them. They both bring a keves le'asham. The difference between them is that the kibsa that was a chatat and the keves le'ola are replaced with two birds. A bird that's brought as a chatat and a bird that's brought as an ola. So there you have two replacing two. Those items, which are the korbanei olah ve'yoreid, there. Mevim bet predim tachat kibsa achat. There you have two replacing one. Be'ashirut, you bring just a chatat. You bring a kizba, or a sirat izim, le'chatat. That is replaced with two birds if you don't bring that. You have to bring a bird le'chatat and a bird le'olah to replace it. And then, umevim bedali dalut, and the more impoverished, the one who has the lowest economic means, who brings a sirita ifa, that replaces the two birds. Tachat shtei predim. So then you have one mincha that is replacing two birds. So there you have the other two manifestations that are mentioned in the Braita, where one gets changed into two, and then two gets changed into one. Mikanata lamed, la sirat ifa shi pruta. So from here we learn out that the sirat ifa is a pruta. Mar says, minolam, where do you know that from? How do we conclude that from this? The Tarabanan, Homer, hare alai sela lemizbeach. Whoever says that I'm going to bring a korban that's worth the sela to mizbeach, mevi keves, he brings a sheep. She'ein davar karev b'sela ele keves. Keves is the item that costs the sela to bring. Mimai, how do you know that? Midama rachmano, because the Torah says when it comes to parshat mi'ilah, over there you have to bring an asham mi'ilot. That asham mi'ilot comes from an ayol. And there it says, ayol asham b'kesef shkelim. So an ayol, which is 2 years old, is brought b'kesef shkelim with two shekel. So since it's brought with two shekel, a keves ben shnato, we're going to suggest is brought, which is half the age, it's going to be brought with one shekel. One shekel is equal to a sela. So that's what it says, michlau. The keves ben shnato b'sela, mirchtiv, by yoledet. When it describes a keves, it says it's a keves ben shnato. So you have a keves ben shnato that is one sela, because the ayol is brought that is two sela, and the ayol is 2 years old, whereas the keves is 1 year old, or within its first year. The ayol is within its second year, not including maybe the 13th month where it's a palges. It's none. And we have a mission that we saw earlier in our mesachta, kinim bobayom birvitayim, that the kinim, when they brought the price back to the normal market, they were worth one quarter of a dinar. So over here, if we go to the case of Shmiat Kol, Bitu Isfatayim, Tumat Nikdash Kedashav. Over there, you would bring a kisba, or a sirati zim, lechatat. You would bring one keves lechatat, which would cost you a sela. If you don't do that, then you have to bring two birds. A preda lechatat and a preda liolah. Those two birds, which is what the Mishnah says, that is a cane. Cane is a pair of birds. They have to bring. That cane cost a quarter of a dinar. So you drop from having to pay a sela down to a quarter of a dinar. How much is that? So that's where it says it's 1/16. So b'ashirut chas rachman alei d'dal b'ashirut. It's 1/16 of what of a ashir brings. And that's because a sela is equal to 4 dinar. And a dinar, so a quarter of a dinar, is 1/16 of a sela. So you see that you drop from a sela down by 1/16 of that price to bring the kan tziporim that you need to bring. Therefore, we're going to say the same thing. When you drop from the kan tziporim down to the mincha, chas rachman alei d'dali dalut, l'mei v'echad meshitzar bidalut, you should have to bring only 1/16 of what he brings bidalut. So that would say that quarter dinar which affords you a kan tziporim, that you should take 1/16 of that, and that's what the mincha should cost you. And if you do that, you should come up with your pruta. Im kein, dalut kama havyo. How much is the dalut that you bring? The kan tziporim, he says, riva, a quarter of a dinar. Bekame prite biriva. How many prutot are there in a quarter of a dinar? So this, you have to know that a dinar equals 6 ma'a. Each ma'a equals 32 prutot. That means a dinar is equal to 192 prutot. A dinar is equal to 192 prutot. If you take a quarter of that, that means that you have 48 prutot. So that means that a quarter of a dinar is equal to 48 prutot. If I take 1/16 of that amount, I end up with 3. That means 3 prutot. The mincha should cost you 3 prutot. Well, that's a problem. So the Gemara says, "Kamer prite b'riva arba'im b'tamnia 48 prite chad mishitzar." If you take 1/16 of that, kamehave the dalut. If chad mishitzar the dalut, if you take 1/16 of dalut, kamehave, where does it end up with? Tlate prite, you end up with 3 prutot. Viktani, and the Braita says, "Mikana talamei la sirita ifa b'pruta." Amai pruta? Why you bring your pruta? Damart asirita ifa dalei dalutu. You say it's 1/16 of a poor. The chashvinan, and we calculated that, that's gimel prita avion. It's 3 prutot. So why is the brayta saying 1 pruta? Tana mi yoledet yalif. The Tana is learning out from yoledet. The macha preda achat tachet kevis. Going back to what we said before, the yoledet brings 2 items. She brings a kevis leola and a preda lechatat. When the dal, the poor one brings something, the poor person brings something to replace it, it brings a preda leola and a preda lechatat. The chatat is the same chatat that the ashira brings. The only difference now is that the kevis ola is replaced by one bird that's an ola. So instead of being replaced by a kan, a pair of birds like by mitzorah, here it's replaced by a single bird. Well, if a pair of birds, a kan siporim, equals a quarter of a dinar, that means that a single bird is equal to 1/8 of a dinar. So if we do the same calculation again, that 1/8 of a dinar, and now we're going dropping from dalut to dale dalut. We're going to drop 1/16 down from there. So I'm going to say, 1/8 of a dinar is equal to half of what the 192 prutot we had before. And if I divide that by 16, I'm going to end up with 1.5 prutot. So if I take the 192 divided by 8 and then divide that by 16, I end up with 1.5 prutot. So the Gemara does the calculation. Tavi chad mitlatin betrain, that's 1/32nd, the kevis. Vadkan dalei dalut. And then you want to take the dalei dalut, kama havi. So if you want to go down, chad mishitzar bedalut. That's 1/16th of the dalut. Demechi yolef mi kevis v'ayo. Adkan pruta upal gahavi. That only gets you down to 1.5 prutot. So amarova kula miltum yoledet yolef. Wait a minute. If you're going to learn that it's 1/32nd from an ashira down to a dal, you also have to take 1/32nd from a dal to dele dalut. You're not doing, you're doing mixing and matching. You're putting 1/32nd and putting in a 16th. The answer is to do 1/32nd of both of them. So now we know how we calculated 1/32nd. We said that a preda leola is equal to 1/8 of a dinar. A keves is equal to a seller, which is 4 dinar, which is equivalent of 1/8 times a quarter, which is 1/32nd. So that's how we calculated that before. Now I'm going to take that 1/32nd and I'm going to apply it to the 1/8 of a dinar for the bird. So I take an 1/8 of a dinar for the bird, and now I want to take 1/32nd of that to pay for the mincha. So 1/32nd of 1/8 of a dinar. So again, if I do the calculation, I take 1/8 of a dinar divided by 32. That's 198 prutot divided by 8 divided by 32. That gives me 24 prutot divided by 32, or gives me 3/4 of a pruta. So hachi kamar midachas rachman alei dedalut mechzei chad mitlatim retrain bashirut bayoledet. Since the Torah had mercy on the poor person to bring 1/32nd of what a rich person brings, umayi yoledet hachi over here by the korbanot olev yored of the shmiat kol bitui svatayim and tumat mikdash kedoshav. So too, chas rachman alei dedalei dalut that he should bring mavei chad mitlatin utrain bedalut. He'll bring 1/32nd of that which is brought by the poor person by a yoledet. Iochi, Gemara says, that turns out to be anachi rivet de pruta. It's a pruta minus a quarter, meaning 3/4 of pruta. That's what we calculated. Achanami, you're right. Ela de lav orchad aradutle pachot mi pruta lamakom. It's not proper, it's not respectable to bring less than a pruta for a korban to Hashem. So we round up the 3/4 to a pruta, and we say that the mincha that you bring must be a minimum of a pruta. And that's how the Braita got that calculation that the Asiriyat Teifa is worth 1 pruta. Now I handed out charts that have all this calculated, so you can take a look at it to follow through the Gemara. Okay, we'll stop over here.